Winds of Change. Hurricane Dorian hits the Bahamas. Hurricane Trump hits up the Pentagon. And Boris Johnson sees his majority in Parliament blow away. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Wherever you get your podcasts, find us at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Hurricane Dorian has hammered the Bahamas, leaving at least 20 dead. Florida and is travelling the East Coast as we speak. What's the latest?
Well, the most important thing here is the Bahamas were leveled. It's another Katrina where the cities are going to have to be put back together. The Bahamas are not a wealthy place. Wealthy people go there, but they're tourists. And they might buy a house or something, but they're not investing their money there. So they're going to have a real problem in the rebuilding. The United States is unlikely to help very much. U.S. deficit is huge. The U.S. is going to be hit by the same set of events. And the United States has not recovered from the last tornadoes and hurricanes that hit the U.S. And not to mention leadership issues and Puerto Rico. So the Bahamas are in sad shape. I don't know what happens next there. But when you stop to think about it, when you rebuild tourism accommodations and things like that, they don't bring a lot of money right away. So you can't borrow a lot against that kind of asset. And the United States is not in position to give. So maybe the UK will try to snuggle up to them, but what's the trade deal there?
And Hurricane Trump still blowing away at the world economy. Has admitted he outright lied about negotiations with China at the G7 in an effort to steady the ship. Statements that left the Chinese genuinely confused about who he had been talking to. And in actuality, negotiations just as stalled as ever. What's going on?
Well, the man lies about everything. So now he's lying in very dangerous territory. The Chinese don't like losing face. They don't like you people putting out things about them. So he's going to have to pay a big price for this. And U.S. citizens will have to pay that same price. Moreover, the Chinese economy is sluggish. And that's the number one economy in the world right now. As it slows down with Brexit and the U.S., U.S. manufacturing fell for the first time in about 5 or 6 years. So U.S. manufacturing, which was tooling along, exporting, by the way, a lot of it to China, which includes automobiles, has tanked. Those are really the good jobs in the U.S. So Trump faces a real dilemma here because the farmers are now hit by bad weather and by trade tariffs. So the farmers are mad. The people in manufacturing are mad. The stock market's mad. These are bad times for Mr. Trump. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes right now, not to mention the other scandals that are creeping up on him in New York.
Many and varied. Trump, though, has also been pushing for an interest rate cut meant to boost spending, a push denied again by Fed Reserve Bank of Boston President Rosengren, who said the economy was relatively strong, all things considered. But now, there are hints today that the rate could be dropped mid-September. Any thoughts on boosting a flailing U.S. and, by extension, world economy?
Well, there's a good lesson from Australia. Australia gave big, healthy tax cuts in an effort to stimulate consumer spending. An interest rate cut, when interest rates in the United States are around 3% on mortgages, and lower that on home appliances and things like that. If you're not going to buy one, you're not going to buy one. Americans don't have their pockets full to be emptied. Where is this new cash going to come from? So symbolically, this makes sense. But U.S. manufacturing is in the doldrums. Why would you borrow more money to produce what? U.S. farmers are in the doldrums. Why would you buy more money to produce more crops? So reducing the interest rate is not in the interest of the nation. Probably keeping it right where it is and struggling on is the best course of action.
And speaking of spending, the Pentagon announcing this week it will spend $3.6 billion in military construction funding to pay for Trump's border wall, reportedly about 175 miles of wall. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, I don't believe Mexico picks up the Pentagon's bills.
Gee, now that's an interesting concept. Mexico paying for the wall. But even this 175 miles is actually more of a repair job than new stuff. So, and 175 miles, when you got, what is it, 3,000-kilometer wall?
Yeah, a couple of thousand there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's not just a drop in the bucket. But I would imagine the tunneling industry is going to boom. Every kid over 10 years old, as they do in Israel, will figure out how to build a tunnel and put a toll on it. Mm. So this will be good for the Mexican economy. It'll do nothing for the immigration, because remember, these people are coming and they want to be caught. They are refugees. They are not trying to disguise themselves. So the wall will help very, very little.
I'm wondering if they could spend maybe another cool $1 billion on a great big statue of Trump in the desert overlooking the wall, sort of, look on my works, ye mighty, and despair.
The image for me has his pants in an interesting place, but I think you're sort in the right direction. In the desert, that's where his mind is.
Texas, another shooting has ended with 7 killed, plus the shooter, and 25 injured. Trump has said that the shooting really hasn't changed anything about how gun control legislation is being approached. And I think that is a telling quote, because I'm not making light of this.
Being approached?
Well, you know, in terms
when
of...
When is it going to be approached?
This is exactly it. Any one of these shootings, what has changed? Time and time again, really nothing has changed. It's hard to know what to talk about, except for the politics.
Well, the politics are important here. Every candidate we've talked about, and even today, the candidate we're going to talk about, is doing something about guns. This is a big issue in America. It's bigger than opioids. People want to feel safe when they're walking down the street, when they're going to a concert, and in this case, entering a movie theater. So we have to have something, and not very much, the Brady Bill, which had just background checks and no assault rifles. Cut killings down to a minimum. Didn't have any until New York and Sandy Hook, about a decade. So we know the remedy here. Don't take the guns away. Change the guns you can have. Change the background checks. Do away with the selling guns in the open markets and have them sold by authorized dealers. None on the internet. Done.
Yeah, exactly. I think it is important to mention here in this one, the Odessa shooter was labeled a mental defective, unable to purchase a gun from a seller that had to do background checks. But private sale, the old gun show loophole, not a problem. Can grab on there.
That's right. That's right. So the remedy is easy. The only person who has a mental difficulty is the President of the United States.
In lighter news, across the pond, Brexit and Boris Johnson's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad week, losing votes on exiting the EU as promised on October 31st, deal or no deal, and again losing on calls for a snap election. Where does the UK even go from here?
It's stumbling along, and I think we're going to reach a real crisis here. We're almost in October now. Even if a vote were held for a snap election, the elections wouldn't be until October.
I believe it was actually October 25th, which I originally heard October 14th. October 25th, I couldn't believe.
Well, this is insane.
Yeah.
The whole thing's insane. So I think there's going to be a real train wreck here. Now, what the Europeans could do is to offer Britain a deal. Say, no back door, this. Citizens can travel freely, but we have the following import tariffs and export tariffs on these and these kinds of goods, until you saddle up and pay up. And you have to withdraw from all the educational advantages you get from being a member of the union. Might be a deal there. A bad deal for England, but a deal.
A deal. At least the Boris Johnson could say, well, this is my deal and it's so
That's
much
right.
better than the one that was there before.
Well, he'll say that regardless of what it is, won't he? He and Trump have a lot in common.
I think so. It's not just the hair.
They take all the credit and none of the blame.
And over the last few weeks, we've been focused on some of the candidates running for presidential nomination in the 2020 race. This week, attorney, entrepreneur, and author Andrew Yang. Ed, who is this guy?
Well, this guy's really very interesting. He's a lawyer and an entrepreneur who's invented a number of things, gotten them patented. He's made money at that. But his real claim to fame is the notion of a national income. $1,000 a month for every adult in the United States. So if you're married, that means $24,000 a year you don't have to worry about. For most Americans, that actually pay the mortgage. So it could bring stability to the United States. He calls it a dividend. And this dividend comes from very smart expenditures, good trade policies, and the like. And that dividend would probably have another dividend. People would start spending money again. So it'd be good for the economy. His other thing is health care for all, which would be another dividend. Fewer people would be on opioids. Maybe gun killings would go down because you got people feeling better about themselves. And he's all for controlling the guns in the ways I talked about earlier. So he has a very good platform. He really is a good speaker. I don't know if you've heard him, but he's an outstanding speaker. He can handle the arguments. No one's making light of his arguments. Some of this stuff is going to happen in the party platform.
And I just want to point out the universal basic income has some crossover with an area I know you yourself are very, very interested with, automation and artificial intelligence. Yang sees the universal basic income basically fighting back against the fact that people will be losing wages to increasing automation and AI.
Well, there's a dividend that comes from that, higher productivity. And why should it just all go to the stockholders? I don't think Yang really wants people just to be sitting at home. This is not sit-down money. This is money that is basic support for you, as it is in Scandinavia, while you're working at something that may not quite be where you want to be, but it may be in what you might call an interim, a temporary situation while you're developing your own business, something else is coming along, but it keeps you off the street begging. It reduces your anxiety about having an income. And the difference between it and welfare is the following. No American who receives Social Security says they're on welfare, and millions of Americans do who are over 65. And all kinds of programs have been designed for them. My mother was in a program for over 65, a housing program. For the first time in her life, she lived in an integrated neighborhood because they were all over 65 and they're receiving this Social Security benefit. And along with that came medical care and other things. So people on Social Security feel good. They don't feel like they're getting a handout because black people get it, white people get it, rich people get it, poor people get it. But people who are on Social Security, a very tiny number of them, except those who have medical crises, are on the street begging.
US Event is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest and newest news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts and get us on Twitter and Facebook at US of Ed.